Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, please. And I'll ask you if you're able to, in reverence to the Word of God, stand, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. I'm really just going here for a little phrase. It doesn't normally work like this, but God put a burden on my heart out of a passage of Scripture that I used in revival last week. And then, after the Lord developed the message, He brought me here for the title of the message. And this is just kind of going to be the springboard this morning. The Bible said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Here's the title of the message, these two words, being burdened. Being burdened. "Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." You can be seated. Pray with us a moment, would you? Father, I thank you this morning for the blessed privilege to be in the house of God with your people. Lord, your people are precious to us. Lord, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like when we all get home around the throne of God where there's nothing to hinder. And Lord, where we can just worship with a pure heart fervently. Lord, I know that, Lord, we do the best we can down here to honor you and magnify you. Lord, I believe when we get there, we, like the Queen of Sheba, will say the half was not told. Lord, what a glorious day that's going to be. Help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I have some things I want to share with you this morning concerning being burdened. I leaned over to Brother Jason a while ago, and I had a thought last week. You know, when the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, we're talking about now when the creation gets out from under the curse. And by the way, the whole creation groans and travails and wants to get out from under the curse. Revelation 22 said there'll be no more curse. But I got to thinking about the wind and the trees. In Isaiah 55, the Word of God said the trees of the field will clap their hands. Now, I'm just a country boy, but when I watch the wind blow in the trees, all of the leaves are going the same way, and all of the limbs are going the same way. But one day, the trees are going to do that right there. What a blessing, amen. Knowing that they're out from under the curse, amen. That's when that lion can lay down with the lamb. The child can play on the hole of an asp and not worry about a poisonous snake bite. Amen. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? Being burdened. I thought about naming the message this morning. You know, something like this. Let's see. Unburdened by what has been. My wife said, don't do that. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you, I thought about it. Amen. What can be unburdened by what has been? What a blessing. Amen. I want to give you just some things this morning that the Lord put on my heart as I looked at this thought of being burdened. And I hope it'll be a blessing. I've learned some things as I've gone through these texts myself. First thing I want to mention today is it's a burden that can be sensed. It's a burden that can be sensed. You know, from the time we were a child and we began to disobey our mom and dad, when we begin to tell a lie, how many can remember those days? Amen. You began to be jealous or envious of somebody else's toys, or maybe take something that didn't belong to you. Listen, many young people, myself included, back in those days were exposed to things you had no business looking at. Amen. And I'm just telling you, beloved, that we were sinners the whole time. But there came a day when the Holy Spirit dealt with our heart, and that sin became exceeding sinful. We were under that condemnation the whole time, but we didn't know it. Amen. That somebody said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. You'll find out something about the sin nature. I got a real nice train set one year for Christmas, and my brother literally took a rock and dropped it on the engine on my train set. Amen. I wanted to drop a rock on his head, but Dad wouldn't let me. Amen. I'm just telling you, when we were youngins, but Brother Michael, you ever been lost in the woods? Amen. And, you know, it doesn't bother you until you realize you're lost. I used to go in the woods and I'd pick out this big tree and I'd say, I got to come back to this big tree. I didn't know how to navigate the woods. You don't navigate the woods by trees. Hills and hollers, honey. You better look at the big picture, amen, or you're going to be lost as a ball in high weeds. And about the third time you come around to that same tree, it sinks in. You have no idea where you're at, and you have no idea where you're going. There's a burden that can be sensed, the burden of sin. When it comes on us, it can be sensed, amen. And that burden, this is what the Bible said in Psalm 38:4, for mine iniquities are gone over my head, and as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I like the song that said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Amen. There was a little boy standing beside my wife and I. And there's a line in that song in the repeat, even me. And he thought I was singing that love lifted even me. Well, love did lift Eve and me. Amen. And love lifted even me too. Amen. I'm just telling you, there's a burden that can be felt, a sensed in our heart, the burden of sin. Jesus bore our sin in his own body. He experienced that burden. The Bible said God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We can sense when that burden is present. That sin, when the Holy Spirit deals with us, becomes exceeding sinful. On Thursday night in the meeting of the revival, and I didn't know some things at the time, but I had Brother Brian McClellan to come down, and the speaker wasn't as big as these speakers here. It's about half as big, probably weighed about 20 pounds, maybe 25, and I had Brother Brian to just bend over. I used to do this in prison, and I laid that speaker on his back. And I said, now there's a load there that wasn't there. He said, right. I said, brother, when I take it off of you, I want you to stand up and say, it's gone. And I tell you, I preached a little bit and I took it off of him. He stood up and said, it's gone. Hallelujah. It's gone. Let me ask you a question. How in the world could the Lord take that burden of sin off of us and thus not know something's gone? When we knelt, I don't know about you, but when I knelt before the Lord in my sin, I felt so filthy. And how could a man get up clean and white and not know that something was cleansed and something was lifted? Listen, I don't want to confuse anybody. We're not saved by feelings. We're saved by faith. But when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that burden is lifted. Amen. God takes it off of us. Now let me tell you what I learned on Friday night. What I learned was this. Brother Brian lifted two patients on Thursday morning and hurt his back. I didn't know that. Honest to God, I wouldn't have had him come up there and do that. Had I known that, I'd have got you, Brother Eric. Amen. I wouldn't have known that. But listen, it gets better than that. He said, Pastor, he said, I'm being honest before God. My back was hurting. And when I stood up and said, it's gone, he said, my back hadn't hurt since. I said, hallelujah, amen. I told him, he said, you did an adjustment. I said, that'll be $25. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, the sin burden. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You'll never get the help you need coming to a preacher or coming to a church or coming to a water hole. You'll get the help you need coming to the Lord Jesus. He'll lift that burden off of you. Amen. That's why he went to Calvary. He took our place there. And you'll know it's gone. Oh boy, I'd love to be able to sing. Here's what the songwriter said. You ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Glory to God this morning. Amen. We ought to shout hallelujah if God has forgiven us of our sin. Amen. And took away that sin burden. The choir sang the song, I never shall forget the day. When all the, you remember? I poked Brother Jason. I love it, Brother Dale, when God puts things together. When the burdens of my heart were rolled away. Amen. Glory to God. So the first thing in the message today of being burdened is a burden that can be sensed. The second thing I want to give you this morning is this. There's a burden that can be sustained. In the book of Psalms chapter 55 and verse 22, the Bible said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, just over a few pages, and chapter number 12, please. Not only is there a burden that can be sensed, the burden of sin, but there's a burden that can be sustained, the burden of the saints, the burden that God's people get under. Paul was a wonderful man of God. And if you read in chapter 11, he talks about being beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, perils of countrymen. He said, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, weariness, painfulness, watching, hunger and thirst, fastings, nakedness. And then on top of all of that, look with me, verse number 7 in chapter 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure. You think about something, beloved. In these days now, men, God gave the apostles the power. You don't know how much I would love to be able to walk into that hospital room this morning and touch Brother Wade. And see him on the golf course again. You don't know how long or how much I would love to be able to walk into that hospital room and touch Sister Shelby a month ago singing in the choir. You don't know how much, beloved, I'd like to go into that hospital room, that man that's 87 years old, Bill Housewright's dad, and not saved. I presented the gospel to him, but oh, dear God, maybe if he could just see a miracle, he'd get saved. In these days, beloved, I'm saying this for a reason. That's the power that these men had. You say, well, Pastor, why don't we have... Listen, what God's doing today is a work of faith.
He said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's not wanting you to step out, beloved, because of something you see. He's wanting you to step out this morning because of something you believe and someone you believe. Amen. He's wanting to put you to put your trust in a Savior that, listen, I never seen the cross, but I know He died on it. I've never seen the empty tomb, but I know He got up. I didn't see Him ascend and go into heaven, but I know He did. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you say, Pastor, why did you tell us all of that? Because Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. He was running the risk of people making more out of Paul than out of Jesus. And so, God, what did God do? Watch what the Bible said here. You say, boy, I don't want to serve a God like that. I do. He's looking at the big picture. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. The Word of God said he saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. And beloved, if he came back down here and started telling people what he saw, God said, they'll make a God out of you, Paul. And you're not to be worshipped, Paul. Jesus is to be worshipped. Watch this now. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes I kid. I kid about this. You know, somebody will say, my wife gave me the flu. I'll say, well, did you say thank you? You understand? I'm kidding. But here the Bible said there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Paul's first response was not to say thank you. How many's got a thorn this morning? Huh? How many deals with something in your physical body, some kind of ailment? I'm glad you men didn't look at your wives when I said that. And I'm glad your wives didn't look at your husbands when I said that. Amen. The Bible said here, it was the messenger of Satan to buffet me. My pastor taught me this years ago, and I don't know that he's wrong. I won't be dogmatic about it, but Brother Chris, he said he believed every time Paul stood up to preach, Satan gouged him and said, tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell what you saw. Because Satan would rather him be worshiping Paul than Jesus. We don't know for sure what the thorn is. That way it fits any of us as thorn. Watch this now. He said here, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, these are red words if you have a red letter Bible. Amen. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yeah. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. It's almost like Brother Chris that right here, he learned to say thank you. I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Why? He says, because when I'm weak, then am I strong.
Amen.
There's more than one way to God's strength. The Old Testament says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And here's another avenue. Amen. The test of our faith. A burden that can be sustained. Let me give you this song. The words, don't worry. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts. One day, Brother Caleb, I'll just get you to sit there with the microphone, amen. And when I'll just go like that and you start singing, amen. God's blessed you, son. And your brother. That's his dad, but I've been calling him his brother, amen. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. How many's glad he's near when the burdens come? Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. We have a burden that can be sustained because we have a Savior that is a great burden bearer. We can cast our burden upon the Lord. Turn to the book of Habakkuk, please. I told him in the meeting last week when I first started preaching, I thought this was Habakkuk. But it's not. It's Habakkuk. I thought Philemon was Philemon. But you learn as you go along. Someone told me when I told him that yesterday that they heard a preacher get up and ask the folks to turn to the book of Job. Well, I would have known where to go. Amen. I did have trouble one time, Brother Jack, when a preacher said, turn to the book of Hezekiah. I couldn't find it, brother. You know why? It ain't there. Amen. It ain't there. Habakkuk. If you have a Scofield Bible, that'd be page 955. That'll help you. I have trouble finding those minor prophets. Does anybody have trouble? Amen. I'm not ashamed to admit it. There's the burden that can be sensed. There's the burden that can be sustained. But in this chapter right here in Habakkuk, he is one of the prophets of God. There's a burden that can be seen. I want you to see it here. The Bible said the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. I could take 20 or 30 minutes and preach on those verses this morning. I'm not going to. But here's what God wants to say to us this morning. What we're seeing should produce a burden in our hearts. It did in the book of Habakkuk. It did in Habakkuk's heart. What was he seeing? He was seeing violence. Let me just give you this. I've learned this through the years. What's going on in the cities, generally it's 10 to 15 years, but it's coming to the country. Did you hear what I said? It's coming to the country. What's going on in the cities, beloved? Right now, there's violence. I think last weekend there was 11 people killed in Chicago. You say, well, that don't concern us. We don't live in Chicago. It should. You say, Pastor, why should it? Well, let me give you this. The first time the word violence is mentioned in the Word of God, it's when God saw the violence in the land in the days of Noah. And the Bible said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. There's violence. I'm telling you, I learned last week, and I would never say the name, but kids got in trouble. They're in the bathroom at school, and they're having a slap fest. They pick teams, and they just slap one another. And you got to stay on your feet. If you don't stay on your feet, you're out. And then they finally work down to the two best on both teams. And they got in trouble for that. And they should. That's crazy. Say amen. Amen. Have you seen some of the news where somebody just walks up behind somebody and cold cocks them from behind? The violence. It's not just guns. You take away the guns, they got knives. You take away the knives, they got cars. You take away the cars, they got trucks. The problem is not the hand, it's the heart. Habakkuk sees that. And I want to say something to the moms and dads this morning. If your youngins are on that computer playing those ungodly video games, you ought to do something about it, amen? It desensitizes us to reality. Violence. Iniquity. Why dost thou show me iniquity? The Bible said, because iniquity shall abound. That's over there in Matthew 24. The love of many shall wax cold. And if you look up that word iniquity, it means lawlessness. And if we're not there, somebody say amen. The law don't mean anything to some people. The Bible said in verse 4, therefore the law is slack. It's a burden. There ought to be a burden on our heart. My little children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to grow up in this mess. And we need God. We need God. The Bible said here, they raise up strife and contention. You say, Pastor, what are you going to say about that? Well, just watch a 5-minute clip on the news of the House of Representatives or the Senate. They're screaming at each other. Many times, Brother Jack, telling lies. And what do you expect if it's that way at the top? Say amen. What do you expect in the country? The strife, the contention. And then the Word of God said here in verse 4, the last part of it, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I could preach 30 minutes on these verses, but wrong judgment. We're there. Years ago, they decided there's too many people making money making this liquor up in the holler, so we need to legalize it and get us some taxes off of it. I'm going to tell you, the cost has far outweighed the benefits. Oh, we need us a casino in Bristol. The cost will far outweigh the benefits. Oh, we need to legalize the pot. The cost will far outweigh the benefits. Oh, listen, there's so many people doing it. I mean, we might as well just make it legal for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. The cost will far outweigh the benefits. Always. When we go away from God's Word, Habakkuk said, that's wrong judgment. Wrong judgment. Wrong judgment. There's a burden that can be seen. When God's people open their eyes and see what's going on around them, it ought to drive us to our knees. It ought to cause us to say, oh God, if my people, which are called by my name, to humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. If ever I've lived in a land that needs a healing, it's the land I'm living in today. Police officers, people, just get them a big hawker and spit in their face. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't have had to worry about the judge or the police officer if my daddy saw me doing that. I'd be doing good to survive. Amen. Lawlessness, wrong judgment. It's a mark of the end time. We ought to be burdened about those things. Go with me now to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I've got two more things to share with you here. I don't think it'll take too long. Galatians chapter number 6. There's a burden that can be sensed. The burden of sin. There's a burden that can be sustained. The burden of the saints. There's a burden that can be seen. The next thing I want to look at here, I'll get there in just a moment. The book of Galatians chapter number 6
is there's a burden that should be shared. A burden that should be shared. Look at Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 1 because I believe you ought to read the Word of God in its context. That's actually helped me as I've studied this time. I actually caught something that I'd never caught before. I'm still learning. I'm 65 years old and I'm still learning. I don't know it all. The Bible said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then the Bible said in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you read that in its context, I believe verse 2 ties in with verse number 1. In bearing a burden that should be shared. This burden should be shared among God's people. You've got someone, maybe a teenager, maybe an adult, and they've got what I call sideways with the Lord. There's two things that goes on in churches. Number one, you just ignore it. It don't matter. Somebody's living in adultery, it don't matter. Somebody's nipping on the booze, it don't matter. Amen. You just ignore it. You sweep it under the rug. That's wrong. Another thing that people do is they try to exercise church discipline in order to get rid of someone. And that's wrong. That's two extremes. Over there, don't do nothing. Over here, let's get them out. That's wrong. The answer is right here. Restore such a one. Don't pretend like it didn't happen. Reach out. Amen. Bear that burden. Amen. Because you know what they are? They're out of fellowship with God. And you know what our utmost desire ought to be? Is to get them back in fellowship with God. But let me just give you a little secret. You can't be in fellowship with the church if you're not in fellowship with God. And you can't be in fellowship with God if you're not in fellowship with the church. They go hand in hand. And so, what Paul is saying to the church at Galatia is, there's a burden that needs to be borne. God's people ought to share that burden. Ought to share that burden. And then, the last thing that I see in the message today is there is a burden that must be shouldered. Watch what the Bible said here. Well, this verse 3 goes with these first two verses too. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. If I stand over here, Brother Chris, and you're over there and you're out of fellowship with God, and I say, well, I tell you what, I'll never do what Chris did. That's what the Bible's talking about there. A man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. He's deceiving himself. The Bible talks about in Romans thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And so, there's a burden that should be shared. And then lastly in the message today, there's a burden that must be shouldered. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said here in verse number 4, but let every man, prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Never in my life have I really fully understood what that was. The way I looked at it was like this. Sister Carol's up there. She's the wife of Brother Wayne. She's carrying a burden that nobody else really. Brother Gary, what you went through with Miss Reba. Listen, I can come alongside of you, but I can't bear it. That's your burden. That's the way I looked at that all of those years. And there's nothing wrong with looking at it that way, I suppose. But the principal meaning is this. Someday, every one of us is going to stand before God.
That's right. Amen.
We're all going to stand before God. Amen. And when pastor stands before God, God has no questions about Miss Eve. He,
He has. There's nothing going on there. It's me and him. My work. It's going to pass through the fire. The Bible said that some of it's going to be like gold, wood, hay, and stubble, and some like gold and silver and precious stones. You put wood, hay, and stubble in the fire, and it's gone. You take gold and put it in the fire, all it does is get pure. Silver, all it does is get pure. Precious stones, amen, all it does is get pure. The principal meaning to that, if you look at the verse before that, look what it says right here. It says, but let every man prove his own work. Remember, Paul told Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. The Word of God is teaching us this morning. You say you love Jesus? Thank God you say that. Prove it. The Bible said we must be careful to maintain good works. Amen. If we're not careful, last week I changed the oil in my truck. Why? I want it to run a while longer. Amen? I need it to run a lot while longer. And so there's maintenance that must be done on a vehicle. Well, guess what? If you're a child of God, there's some things that need to be maintained in your life. Why? Because one day, you're going to bear your own burden. Pastor's going to bear his own burden. It's going to be me and Jesus. He's not going to ask me about another church in Kingsport or another church in Statesville, North Carolina. I'm going to give an account for the ministry in this church. I'm going to give an account for being a husband to that woman, for being a dad to my four children, to being a papaw to my grandchildren. And you're going to do the same. There's a burden that must be shouldered. One of the most godly men I've ever met in my life, Sister Peggy with Brother Lowell. And he stood right back there in the back of that church behind where Sister Jennifer's sitting and told me one morning, Pastor, I ain't looking forward to it. Did y'all hear what I just said? I'm telling you, this ought to be a sobering thought this morning. Teenagers, there's no guarantee you're going to live to be 20. I hope you do. I hope you live to be 40. I hope you're better looking when you're 40 than you are right now. You're going to pick on somebody. You need to be good to them. Amen. We're going to stand before Him. Now, this is talking about the children of God. This has nothing to do with a lost individual. The lost individual will not be at this judgment. The lost individual will show up at the great white throne judgment. One of the ways to separate the two judgments and never get them confused, the child of God is never judged according to his works. He's rewarded according to his works. The lost man is judged according to his works. And anybody that's judged according to their works, the lake of fire is waiting on them. The best you can do, you better not bypass Calvary, because that's the only ticket into heaven. Amen. I was talking to my son last night on the way home. No, it was on the way to Kingsport to see Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph Owens, he's nearing the shore, no doubt. But I told my son, you know, what that when a man's judged according to his works, you've got somebody that's been a good moral person, yet they never trusted Jesus. The degree of punishment in hell is going to be different for somebody that was a murderer or a rapist or a child molester. And I just named some pretty wicked stuff, didn't I? Amen. But let me tell you something that I believe is going to be hotter than any of that stuff. Men that stood in pulpits just like that right there and told people there's another way. Yeah. Made them feel good about their sin.
Amen.
And wouldn't preach the truth to them.
Amen. Amen.
There's a lot of them. Say amen.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of them in this world. The burden. The burden. Being burdened. One day, beloved, Jesus is going to come. There's a burden that can be sensed. I hope you've gotten out from under that burden and know it. A burden that can be sustained. A burden that can be seen. A burden that should be shared. And a burden that must be shouldered. Let every man bear his own burden. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? It really is. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the sweet spirit, Lord, in this place. I pray this morning, Lord, as we look at our country, even, Lord, as we know that today there will be a celebration of life service for Brother Charlie this afternoon. God, it'd be wonderful if something would be said of the gospel that he believed that might prick people's hearts, that they might get their belly full of sin and run to the Savior. Lord, there are people in this building today, they're your children, and they need to cast their burden upon the Lord. There are people here today, Lord, that's never had that burden of sin lifted, and they need to come. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Lord, there are people here today that they got their head in the sand. They're not concerned about our country. They're not concerned about our teenagers. They're not concerned about the condition of our government. I pray, God, that you'd bring us to our knees in prayer, that we might, Lord, be like Habakkuk and see what's going on. And understand, Lord, that we can't do anything about it, but we serve a Savior who can. Help us, Lord, to bombard the throne of grace. God will give you glory.